Well, good morning. Let's go ahead and have a seat. We're going to get started right here. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2 this morning. Christmas is an interesting season of mixed emotions for a lot of people, you know? It's exciting, it's joyful, it's, you know, it's filled with family and all kinds of things, but there's also a lot of people that have no idea about who Jesus is, who God is, the meaning of Christmas. They might know some things, you know, but when it comes down to the Bible and stuff, it's not everybody knows about that. And, you know, people are coming off great years, coming to the end. Other people are coming off very hard years. You know, a lot happens in a short amount of time, and as we know, life, there's things, struggle, loss, all kinds of stuff. And so, and a lot of people just not having any idea of where to put their hope. Who do you put your hope in? What do you hope in the world that we live, right? We definitely live in an interesting time, in an interesting world as we're all here. We live in a world of confusion, right? Overstimulation, overstimulated with ideologies and world religions and philosophies, different things, self-help gurus, right? We see that. Influencers, we see experts of all kinds, PhDs and doctors and masters of this, I'm a master of that. Where do we go? Where do we look to? What do we look to for answers? Where do we look to for clarity in a world such as the world we live, right? Sin, depravity and evil and the moral decay, they're this is all at an all-time high right now. We see it, right? Anxiety, uncertainty, it haunts a lot of people. So this is a lot that's happening, you know? We have a lot going on, and maybe you don't have that Christmas spirit, right? There's some Grinches, some Scrooges going around, you know? Maybe that joyful spirit this year, it's been a hard one for just this year has been hard, right? People have let you down. Let's talk about life. Let's get real, right? Things haven't turned out the way that you've planned. You're just trying to stay above water in a world that feels like it's drowning you at times, right? We can get there. Sometimes we have high highs and low lows, and, you know, we're just there. But regardless of where we are, any of us are in that life and in this life, we got to ask ourselves this one thing. During this Christmas season, where are you going to put your hope in? A better question is actually, who are you going to put your hope in during this season of life? When you look at all the things that are happening in the world, it's easy for us to be afraid, right? To have fears. And that's a word we hear. Fear is something that grips us, right? Fear grips all of us different ways. And when you think of the word fear, a lot comes to mind, right? There could be a lot of things that come to mind when we think about fear and what that is. There's a long list of things that people have fears of, right? There's a long list of fears that we can hold on to. Even us, yes, with faith in Christ, even us that believe in Jesus, we believe in the word, we stand strong, we have fears, we get weary, we get nervous, we lose faith, but God is faithful even though we're not, right? That's what the word says. And even us with faith in Christ, this is what we face. But the cool thing is, you know, the Bible teaches us something so encouraging that we can't pass or we can't skip over it. We don't need to fear about anything. We don't need to be weary. We don't need to be scared. And why is that we don't need to fear? Because the word tells us a Savior has come. Fear not, for a Savior has come. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. That's why we celebrate. And it's been said, Jesus is still the reason for the season, right? Is he not? It is Christ, this Jesus, for the reason. This is why we celebrate. This is the focus of this passage, our passage this morning. Fear not, a Savior has come. So we can go ahead and open our Bibles to Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. So Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8, we will be diving into the scripture, and we get the privilege to hear from God this morning through his word. This is why we're here, and it's amazing. Before we start, just hold your spot there, Luke 2. Let me just set the scene a little bit so we can all be on the same page where we're at, all the same page in our text this morning. So Luke, the guy writing this, the writer, the author, he wasn't a fisherman like Peter, one of the other apostles. He wasn't a tax collector like Matthew, or he didn't really have the same profession as a lot of the original apostles, but he was a doctor. He was a physician. He was a man of great detail, and he was someone used to look very closely at everything, very closely. Dr. Luke. Luke was also a historian. He cared a lot about history and wanted to document history and what was happening at the time. And he carefully investigated eyewitness accounts so that you know, so he could write, this is what he says, an orderly account, meaning this isn't a fairy tale, it's not a mythology, it's not just a warm Christmas story, this is history, and this is coming from the historian himself, Luke. This really happened. And this is what Luke wanted to get across to his readers, to his hearers, as he collected eyewitness accounts to the majesty, to the miracles, to the historically groundbreaking movement of Christ and the Christians that was exploding at that time. And Luke was there for it to take notes on it, right? See what's going on, report. And it happened in the first century under Roman rule. So that was a whole thing. God's people were tired. They were oppressed. Taxes were heavy. The government was strong. And hope was pretty much at an all-time low for them. People were waiting for God to break in and do something. And into that world of chaos and disorder, and like today, it wasn't a peaceful world. There was a lot going on, a lot of unstable things. But God decided to do something. What did he do? He sent his son. And I love that very first words of heaven speaking into the chaos of the world, that pressure, that fear that was there to speak to the hearts of all of us. Do not be afraid. And the whole message rides on that. In Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, Joseph and Mary, they travel to Bethlehem for the census. And the census, it was an official counting of the population at the time where the government required people to register so that they can be recorded, right? A head count. But yeah, the census was usually for taxation or administrative purposes. It was counting heads, like I said. It was like that at the time. And while they were there, Mary gives birth to Jesus, laying him in a manger because there wasn't any room in the inn. And because what we're talking about isn't fairy tales or mythology, what we're talking about is true history and reality. And that's what Luke cares so much about. And that's what we should care about, right? And picture that scene we all acted out and take a glance with me here at the moment in biblical history. That same night, shepherds are out in the fields watching over their flocks. And it says in the Bible, when the angel of the Lord suddenly appears to them, the glory of God shines around them, and they are filled with great fear. They were setting the stage for the angel's announcement in verses 10 and 11. So it picks up here in our text, Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. Let's go ahead and read it. Luke 2, verse 8 says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This is the word of God. Let's pray that God would bless our time together in his word. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, again for this morning. We thank you. We just pray that you're with us as we dive into your scriptures. And we just take a quick glance and a look at what you have to tell us this morning. We pray for our soft hearts and our renewed minds, Lord, and we just pray for your grace, your mercy. We pray for your voice. We pray for your Holy Spirit to illuminate the scripture and teach us all in our hearts this morning, God. We thank you for all that you're doing. Be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. So Christmas is God pretty much saying, don't be afraid, I sent you a Savior. And as we see in verse 8 through 9, the shepherds were out in the fields. They were watching over by night when an angel comes out of nowhere, and the angel had something specific, a very specific message to say. So look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Do not be afraid. This is the angel said. Now think about this. God didn't show up to kings. He didn't appear in the palace. He didn't speak to the religious elites. He appeared to shepherds. And that's really significant that we see in the text that he appeared to shepherds. Because in the first century, shepherds were considered low class. They were considered untrusted. They were seen as ceremonially unclean. not allowed to testify in court, viewed as rough, viewed as dirty, outcast workers. This is the shepherds of the first century and the time. And those are the first people God chose to announce the birth of his son. See a common theme happening. That alone preaches the gospel, right? God doesn't want, he doesn't wait for the world's approval. He moves toward the humble. And now imagine this too. You're a shepherd, you're in the middle of the night, you're watching sheep, and the world is quiet except for a few animal sounds. And all of a sudden, an angel appears out of nowhere. The angel just comes out of nowhere. When have we ever experienced an angel appearing out of nowhere? And no wonder the first thing he said was, "Don't be afraid." Because how would we feel if an angel popped out of nowhere? And this is not a Hallmark card angel. This is a different type of... In the first century, whenever an angel showed up, it usually meant judgment, actually. It was either judgment or it was some world-altering event that was happening. People weren't used to kind of the soft, gentle Christmas story angel. The real ones were pretty terrifying at some time, you know, different points in the Bible. But this time, the message isn't just about judgment. It was actually about hope. Thank God. It was about peace. It was about salvation. And heaven breaks into human fear. This is what we see. So don't be afraid. Isaiah 41:10, it actually echoes the same heart. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you. Same God, same message, same comfort. This is the Lord. All right, so that's the command. Now the angel gives the reason for this announcement, the reason for why he came and the reason why he announced this, right? So let's keep reading. Still in our text, Luke chapter 2, verse 10, look what it says. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. So don't be afraid. I'm coming with good news. I'm coming with the good tidings. I'm coming with joy. I'm coming with a message that is very good. I'm not here to say judge anything. I'm not here to announce anything bad. I'm here to announce the best thing you've ever heard. I'm here to announce that. This is what the angel said. I'm coming with good tidings. So that word tidings, it means news, but not normal news. It literally means a lot of great news. Did you know that in the ancient world, good tidings was the language used when a king was born? They would say good tidings when a king was born. Well, a great victory happened, they would use that, tidings, that word. Or a major national event took place, good tidings, good tidings. So this was not just, oh, that's pretty good. This is a huge deal, a huge deal. And this was royal language. It was gospel language, world-changing language. So when the angel says good tidings, he's saying, this is the news you've been waiting for. This is the announcement that changes everything. This is the announcement that's going to change the world. And it brings great joy, not just a small little bit of joy, not momentary joy, but a real, true joy. And in this time, in a world where Rome ruled hard with an iron fist, taxes were crushing families, people lived in constant fear of soldiers, and hope was pretty much fading extremely fast, God sends joy, not holiday happiness necessarily, which is great, not seasonal kind of excitement because it's in the season, but true joy. And not even a great Hallmark card with expensive gifts under the Christmas trees, right? Not that necessarily, you know? Although I'm definitely open to receiving gifts at any time. I would love that. Just for the season, if your heart calls. But instead, God sends joy. He sends joy rooted in a Savior. That's where we put our faith and our joy. Psalm 16:11 says, in your presence is fullness of joy. In God's presence. That's the kind of joy Christmas brings. That's the kind of joy we focus on. But who is this joy for? That's another question. Who is this joy for? The angel answers that next here in our text. Look back at verse 10 when he says, good tidings, joy, which will be to all people. The angel said, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And at the end of verse 10, which will be to all people. So you've got to understand this historically. In the first century, the Jewish mindset, the Messiah was often viewed as someone for Israel, someone who would deliver them specifically. This is their mindset. But the angel breaks that boundary right away when he says, all people. This would have shocked the shepherds at that time. This wasn't just like a national deliverer that's going to come and help the nation and take over and reign as king on earth. This wasn't just for one group of people. This was a universal, global call for everyone. And as hard as this might be to believe, as hard as it is to wrap our minds around, God wasn't sending a savior for the religious or the perfect people, right, or the stable people with their lives together. He was sending a savior for the sinful, for the broken, the anxious, the lonely, the outcast, the weary, the forgotten and messed up, and the human people. That's you, right? That's me. All people means you're included. So this is the message of Christmas. Fear not. Why should we fear? Why shouldn't we fear? Because a Savior has come. And you might be thinking, yes, we heard that. We know a Savior has come, Jesus Christ. Heard it forever, Charlie Brown. I've seen the Charlie Brown Christmas movie. They preach the gospel at the end. I've seen it all. This is great. You know, Jesus Christ. He's a Savior and he came. But no, this is the thing. Maybe you're not hearing me. I want to make this very, very clear. All people means you. And sometimes we can get stuck in the ancient text. We think, oh, this is first century history. We know all the Christmas and Easter and all that stuff. We get it. But we can quickly forget that the scripture is alive and well, and Jesus Christ is living, and we will return. He's going to return to the earth for his church. This is a living God, Christ alive today. For you, for me, for all of us. And the days are evil. The days are corrupt. But the victory is won because we serve the one true living God, right? We will be a generation that faces fear head on with facts. There's fear and then there's facts. We're seeing this globally and all over the nation. Young people, seasoned people, people of all walks of life, we're seeing this. The standing firm on Christ and who he is. The standing firm on the word of God. And that's the fact that our hope is in Christ alone. Our hope is in Christ alone. This is who he is, and this is what we can put our hope in. He's our Savior. We don't need to fear because he's our Savior, and he's come to save us. He's come to strengthen us, give us perseverance through all trials and tribulations of life, right? And this is who he is. You know, don't believe the news. Believe the good news. Believe the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we stand firm on. It breaks down every wall, breaks down every opposition, Christ and who he is, our King. And do we believe that? Right? Do you believe that? We serve a living God that reveals himself through his living word. Praise God, he gave us that. Christ is for you. Christ is for you personally. And look at verse 11 in our text, Luke chapter 2, verse 11. After it says, all people. He takes it from all people to you personally. So in verse 11 it says, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. For there is born to you this day. I love that some words just kind of pop out of the scripture as they do. And one of those things is to you. To all people, we just talked about what it is. This is where we slow down. This is where we slow down in the text and we look to you in verse 11. Not to the world in a vague way, not to only one generation, not to the religious establishment of the time, not to spiritual giants that walk around and they know all the things and they're so holy. No, to you. This means this is personal. God entered your story. God stepped into your world. God came for your heart. He came for my heart. And he's not stopping. He's not giving up. He will pursue us, right? The hearts of humanity that have been walking through the struggles and the pain and the loss of this life, Christ is here to restore, rebuild, and heal, and to show us that we can stand on clarity and truth. And no matter what opposition, Christ is here. And that's what it is. And this is the truth. Now, historically, Bethlehem was it was a tiny little unnoticed town, nothing special. People didn't really go there to vacation. It wasn't wealthy. It wasn't influential. But God loves to bring great things out of little hidden places, doesn't he? He does this. He's done this. He brings great things out of nothing, out of little things that we don't even realize. What can he bring out of little Windsor, right? What can God do? Sonoma County, Northern California, our nation, and beyond. Bethlehem means house of bread. And into the house of bread came the one who said, I am the bread of life, Jesus Christ. So he's not like us, he's perfect. So what does the scripture plainly tell us? Fear not. Why? Because a Savior has come. For who? For all people. We see that there here in verse 10, right? We see that all through the scriptures. But not only for all people, but for you and but for me. So now we know who it is. It's for you. It's for me. Now the angel tells us who this child actually is. When we hear about this, we at the nativity, people ask questions. What's this baby? You guys told me about it before, about how people are at different places in their faith and they don't really know about the birth of Christ, but it was really wild to see people, what is this? What is this for? What is this? You know, so that the real question is, we look at verse 11, it tells us who this child actually is. Take a look at verse 11. Who is this child? Who is this Savior? Verse 11, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, and who is this Savior? It's Christ, the Lord. Don't you love how scripture is pretty clear? We can make it real complicated sometimes. Now this right here is the whole message. Right here, Christ the Savior. And let's unpack it quickly, historically, and simply. Savior, the word Savior in the Roman world was politically loaded. It was a politically loaded word. Caesar Augustus was literally called the Savior of the world. I'm the Savior of the world. The bringer of peace, they called him. Son of God, they called him. They printed it on coins. So when the angel says a Savior is born, he's coming and saying a Savior. He's saying Rome is not your Savior. The government is not your Savior. Your strength is not your Savior. Your good works are definitely not your Savior. Jesus is your Savior. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, it says, he will save his people from their sins. Praise God for that. That's the real bondage Jesus came to break. Christ means anointed one, the promised Messiah from the Old Testament. Lord means master, king. He's our ruler, God himself. So in verse 11, when the angel says a Savior who is Christ the Lord, he's really saying the child is God in the flesh. The child is the promised Messiah. This child is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher of our faith. No one else is before him. No one else is above him. Not Rome, not any religious leaders or organizations will stand in his way. He alone is the Savior of the world, Christ. We don't have to be afraid because we have him. And the angel declares to them back then and to us today forever, fear not, our Lord Jesus Christ is here, the Savior. From the cradle all the way to the cross, the birth leads to salvation. Christmas leads to Calvary. In a world of corruption, in a world of sin, in a world of evil, suffering, loss, death, the Bible tells us, and God's messenger tells us, the angel tells us this. Fear not. Savior is born. So do we have any fear this morning? Where do we need to put that fear? In a world of confusion, in a world of defeat, disappointment, like I said earlier, huge highs, very low lows, a life with more questions than answers at times, we have to fear not because our Savior is here. And listen, like I was saying earlier too, all of our fears, all the things we carry, even those of us that know the Lord, and know his promises are true, we get discouraged, right? We're human beings. We still get discouraged. We know he's true and he's great and he's God and all, but I still don't trust him. I trust him sometimes, but I don't know. Is he coming through? It's like, you know, it's hard to trust, you know, but the Lord is faithful even when we're not. But let's not forget the words of the angel in Luke chapter 2, fear not, for a Savior has come. So whatever fear you have, bring it to Jesus. That's what it is. What is the scripture in the ancient text and all this stuff that's happening in Christmas and Christ, and we read those scriptures. What is it for us today? Where are we today? What are we called to do, right? The same God who says fear not then says fear not now. Fear not today. So let Jesus be your Savior, not your backup plan, right? I'll go to God. Man, our prayers are for the family. I pray. We need to pray first. We need to seek Christ first in his kingdom. He's there for us. Christmas is not just sentimental, right? It's salvation. And that's what we've lost. We need to bring back salvation. This is what it's for, the focus. And so share the message because it's for all people. And somebody around you needs to hear that, right? We need to hear fear not, but there might be somebody you know personally that needs to hear fear not. Put your hope in Christ. He's the Savior. And take a look at Titus chapter 3 with me. We're just going to briefly do this. I just want to read this really quickly and take this in. Yes, we know this. We have to fear not the Savior, Jesus Christ, he's come. But how do I live that out practically today in the 21st century, right? The first century we get it, ancient world, we're here in the 21st century. How am I supposed to be a Christian? Back in the early church, you know, the early church did, you know, they would read these epistles. You know, they would do that. They would actually read the epistles at church. They said, hey, open the scriptures and just read it out loud to the church. Why did they do that? Why was that a call? Read the epistle out loud. Because the scripture is plain and the scripture speaks for itself, right? God wants us all to clearly understand him and clearly get to know him through his word. So as we wrap up, I want you to hear this. We just heard a lot about Luke chapter 2 and our Savior and Jesus Christ coming soon, so we don't have to be afraid. But let me close by showing you what all of us are being called to do today. Read Titus 3, starting in verse 1. Back here, Paul wrote this letter to Titus, and Titus he's a pastor, and he gave clear instructions. He was giving clear instructions. Paul, you know, we got to thank Paul, right? Paul for writing these epistles, for writing to people, and to really kind of focusing on everything that Paul is doing and focusing on giving us things to focus on and things to just, you know, I guess, understand. And so Titus chapter 3, verse 1, I'm just going to read it. It says this, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of our God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. And then verse 6, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men, but avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Reject the device of man after the first and the second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. Speak evil of no one. Be peaceable. Be gentle. Show humility to all people. How am I supposed to be a Christian today? I don't know the Bible. I'm not all these things. Speak evil to no one. Be peaceable, be gentle, show humility to all people, walk in kindness and love toward people, turn away from the evils of this world, show mercy to all people, and they will see Christ in you. That's one thing. Don't get caught up in useless arguments about the laws, secondary things. There's a lot of secondary things we could fight on in the scripture, but we want to stay on the main things, right? The main things about what the word says and what he's calling us to do. Do good works unto God for his glory. It says the goodness of God leads men to repentance. So that means our good works lead people to God. It's not about us getting saved or not. We're saved by faith alone in Christ alone. And so that's what he's saying. Fear not, our Savior Jesus Christ is here. So I want to challenge all of us with this one in this holiday season, this one thing. Tell people about your faith. You don't have to preach all the time. You don't have to preach at them, but invite them to the church. Tell them about Jesus, right? At least invite them to a place where they can hear and learn about Jesus, which is the church. I came to Christ because of one guy invited me to church. He told me, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes through the Father but through him. I said, what is that? I'm not going to go. I'm going against that. How could it be the only way? There's all these religions. How is this? That's the only thing? And he said, amen, that's all I know. That was the one verse he knew. Yes, it was in L.A. Yes, he had long hair. Yes, he was pretty fried from his younger years of excessive drug use, a lot of things. But he said, amen, Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. That's it. And I was aggressive. He was calm. He said, hey, that's it, man. And I said, dang, how's that it? That's not it. Is that it? And I said, why is he so certain about this? But that's all he knew, and he invited me. Guess what? He invited me to church. Hey, come to church. I don't know. Maybe the pastor will say something out of the Bible, and you'll get what's going on. That's what he said. And I said, all right, I guess I'll go to the church, man. So people carry a lot of fears. People carry a lot of stress. People carry a lot of pain in the world, right? And for many of us, all they need to see is someone like yourself who will treat them with simplicity and kindness and walk in gentleness toward them when everyone's harsh. Share about the hope you have. Invite them to the family of believers. There's too many testimonies where just one invitation does a lot. And for many, all they need to hear is this: fear not, Savior has come. So the greatest gift you can give anyone this Christmas, right, it's to share the gospel with them, the good news about Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Not just for church leaders, elders, pastors. The job for the pastor is actually to equip the saints for the work of ministry. All of us, as we see in Ephesians 4, we're all part of the body doing God's work, doing kingdom work. That's you. God is calling you to reach the loss. So invite them into the family of God. Your life is not at the end. It's only beginning. We're here. God is still doing things with us. This is our charge from Christ to all of us. So I'm going to close with this. Christmas is God stepping into human fear with a divine hope. And that's Christ. Christmas is God saying, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid because I sent you a Savior. He's come to the world. So remember that. Tell others about the hope you have. Amen. Let's pray. Well, Lord, thank you for this word. Thank you for stepping into our world, not because we're strong, Lord, but because we're broken. Thank you for speaking fear not over our lives, Lord. And God, help us walk out our faith. Help us walk out of here to this morning trusting you more. Lord, I pray that you fill us with joy, that we can only come from knowing you. And Lord, if anyone here hasn't received you as Savior, Lord, I pray that you draw their hearts today to you. Let this Christmas be the moment they step into real hope, Lord, in a hopeless world. You alone are the Savior of the world, Lord. Bring peace to the people, God. Bring our hearts to you, to our fearful hearts. We ask for peace. And we honor you, Lord. We love you. We thank you. And we thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.